Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, March 1st, 2021. The South Sudan Police Service arrests 45 suspected land grabbers allocating plots in Mangala village of Central Equatoria State.
They started occupying people's land without knowing who owning that land. Then they start guilding. At the end of the day, the dispute started. Instead of going to the land department to know who owns the land.
And commuters in South Sudan's capital, Juba, say COVID-19-related social distancing is a foreign language to many people in the town.
These taxi drivers have been forcing us to sit close to each other, and there are people who cough a lot in the taxi.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The deputy spokesperson for the South Sudan Police Service says 45 suspected land grabbers in Mangala village have been arrested for illegal sale of plots. An official in the office of the governor of Central Equatoria State says the suspects, who are from Jonglei State, were apprehended while illegally demarcating land in Mangala village last week. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has more from Juba.
Colonel James Dark, deputy spokesperson for South Sudan's National Police Service, confirmed about 45 suspected land grabbers were rounded up by the police in connection with land grabbing last week.
They started occupying people's land without knowing who owning that land. Then they started guilding. At the end of the day, the dispute started. Instead of going to the land department to know who owns the land and to make his document, he just built in the land. And he used the power of his stature, being from the forces or being from security, and he threatened the people who owns the land. This is where then the land dispute started. Yeah, the investigation is going on and the finding is still, and this thing is being tackled.
Dark says the suspects are being detained in the Malakia and Gumbo police stations. He says 8 of the suspects were later released on bail, while the others remain in the police custody and are being interrogated ahead of appearing in court. It did not say when the suspect will be arraigned in a court of law, but says that will happen when the police investigations are complete. Derek Derrickson, press secretary in the office of Central Equatoria State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony, said the suspects were arrested following an order from Governor Adil.
Our able and determined security operatives were able to apprehend about 20 land grabbers, and this is in conformity with the executive or the gubernatorial order that the governor issued as per the new issuance of land titles within Juba and across the state until the state government structure are fully established.
Derrickson says the governor's order bans the issuing and demarcation of land in the state indefinitely until state government structures are fully established. He says anyone caught violating that order will be arrested, as the suspects were on Thursday.
They will be dealt with accordingly, and the law will be applied on full force on them, because this is very illegal as per our constitution, and this cannot be tolerated in any one way or the other. And His Excellency the Governor of Central Equatoria State condemned it in the strongest sense possible and expressed his commitment to solving land-related issues in the state once the state line ministries are fully installed or are fully established into office.
Derek urges communities across the state to remain calm as the governor's office addresses the problem of land grabbing. Alessandro Jada, executive chief of Radolo Boma in Mangala Payam, says the suspects include top military officers who threatened locals with firearms when surveying the land.
The land grabbers started distributing our land to themselves on 2nd November. We went to the governor and he came to talk to them. When the governor was there, they were found sitting at their tables registering people. The governor told them to stop what they were doing. But once the governor returned to Juba, they came back the next day. So all this month, we have been moving up and down with them.
Jada is urging state authorities to quickly put an end to illegal land grabs so that villagers can farm their land without disturbance.
The places for farming have been allotted. Now this year, where will the people farm? And the government is telling people to go and farm. Now even these are the government people coming to take and terrorize civilians. Are the civilians not part of the government? So, let the government resolve this issue, because what is happening can't help at all. The civilians in the villages do not sleep because they are frustrated.
Deputy spokesman of South Sudan's People Defense Force, Brigadier Santo Domic, says any soldier who illegally takes land is acting as private individual and should be identified and arraigned in court.
Blanket acquisition could not be given to the military in that regard. So it is a good development if at all the leadership of Central Equatoria is able to arrest some culprits in regard to this issue of land grabbing. But as military, we don't grab land of anybody.
Community leaders in Central Equatoria State have repeatedly complained about land grabs and recently accused some internally displaced persons who fled from their homes due to flooding in Jonglei State's Bor County of land grabbing. Community leaders wrote an open letter last week to Governor Adil, urging him to address the matter. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Still in Juba, some commuters in South Sudan's capital say majority of passengers on public transport do not wear face masks. Some of the commuters say they worry about contracting the coronavirus in public transport. A senior official with the Ministry of Health says security operatives have been instructed to arrest individuals ignoring COVID-19 preventive guidelines. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Last month, the National Task Force on COVID-19 ordered drivers of all public transport vehicles to carry only 50% of their normal number of passengers and to require all passengers to wear face masks. Some Juba commuters says many drivers do not enforce the order. As she boards a minibus at Gudele 1 stage, Juba commuter Joyce KG says she is not happy with the way drivers in Juba still fill their vehicles to capacity despite order to cut the number of passengers in half.
These taxi drivers have been forcing us to sit close to each other, and there are people who cough a lot in the taxi. COVID-19 is a deadly disease, and I do not understand why these drivers are not respecting the measures. So I'm urging the government to find out why these taxi drivers are carrying a full number of passengers.
KG says she is afraid the coronavirus is being transmitted while people use public transport, especially since most passengers do not wear face masks. South Sudan National Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin claims security organization began implementing orders a few weeks after the partial lockdown was issued by the National Task Force and denies allegation there was no security personnel deployed at the bus stations in Juba. Justin says taxi drivers who fill their vehicles with passengers do it without the knowledge of security personnel.
So they are hiding because these instructions are very clear. We went as far as talking to the leadership of the public transport associations in regard to the danger and the orders, and they promised to dispatch these messages to their members of their associations. And we are now at the at the bus stations, making sure that the buses are taking half of their capacities.
Dr. Richard Laku, the incident manager for COVID-19 Task Force at the Health Ministry, says the government directed security organizations to apprehend drivers who fail to comply with the new orders. Dr. Laku says all citizens should protect themselves against the virus.
We as the citizens, we need to make sure that these guys should not play with our life. Our health is our responsibility, and we tell them, no, this bus should not take this number, should take half. As long as you are charging us this much,
Dr. Laku urges commuters to boycott or step out of any taxi which is filled to capacity.
When it is full, you get down. Well, this is the only way that we can make these guys comply. The issue is about the risk, your health, risk to your health as a passenger. Why do you allow yourself to be parked while you are paying money?
If all commuters refuse to get in crowded buses, drivers will comply with the measures, says Dr. Laku. In response to the commuters' complaint, one driver who prefers to identify himself only as Kenyi says high fuel prices compel drivers to park their vehicles with passengers.
Sincerely, we the drivers are encountering a lot of challenges, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, because the authorities said we should reduce the number of passengers in our buses. We were told to carry 5 passengers out of 7, but the problem whenever we carry only 5 passengers, we do not get enough cars to buy fuel. As we speak, the prices of fuel have increased, and that has impacted us a lot.
Juba taxi driver Hamada Sebit says drivers understand the importance of social distancing, but the drivers' union has not approved their request to increase fare, so which would make carrying fewer passengers affordable. South Sudan is under a partial lockdown for 1 month after a recent spike in coronavirus cases. As of Friday, health officials confirmed more than 6,000 cases, more than 3,000 recoveries, and more than 80 deaths. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Magwe County in eastern Equatorial State, where parents are refusing to allow their children to be vaccinated against polio. A supervisor for the government's expanded program on immunization in Magwe County admits his team is facing challenges during a polio vaccination campaign. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Magwe, eastern Equatorial State.
Emilia Lakulu says health workers came to her house to vaccinate her child, but she refused because she heard from neighbors that the vaccine being administered is actually not meant for polio. Lakulu says she heard a rumor that the government is secretly inoculating people with the corona vaccine.
For us, we heard that the polio vaccine increases the corona disease in people. That is why we refused that vaccine, because we heard it increases the spread of that disease among people. We heard that the government of South Sudan wants to inject people with the corona vaccine, but they don't want to tell the truth for us to understand.
Kevin Achayo, a mother of 4, says 3 of her children were previously vaccinated against polio, but she refused to vaccinate her 4th child during the current round of vaccinations because she heard the recent vaccine intensifies the spread of the coronavirus, a rumor that she says is circulating all over the internet.
I heard that the vaccine was for polio, but afterwards I heard that the vaccine was for corona, and that if they inject you with that medicine, it doesn't cure, but it instead increases the disease in your body. That's why we refused. This information we have been hearing among homes, but those who pass the information are those who read from the internet. That's why we didn't believe the polio information.
James Okeny, a father of 3, says he doesn't want his children to be vaccinated with the polio vaccine.
I don't know more about it, but we don't want this polio vaccine because we hear that it is for coronavirus, and many people were saying that corona vaccine is not real but meant to kill people. I got this information from internet and from friends.
Justin Oriam Dominic, a supervisor for the government's expanded program on immunization in Magwe County, confirms that some parents are refusing to cooperate with health workers due to misconceptions about the polio vaccine.
But as we know, this vaccine is not for corona. It is for polio, so that our children will not get crippled in the community. I think they did not understand the importance of this vaccine. That's why they are rejecting their children not to get polio vaccine.
Dominic says his team is determined to immunize every child. He says the team will involve chiefs, women, and religious leaders along with other community leaders to convince all parents to allow their children to be vaccinated. Mary Obat, Director of Health Education and Promotion at the National Health Ministry, says the ministry is aware of the disinformation circulating among various communities and is working with partner organizations to address the matter.
The meeting yesterday, and we are going to plan for a message. Yeah, because we are already aware, you know, some of the states, including Magui, Rumbek, Lakes State, and other areas, they have mentioned that there were some few refusals due to this, misconception or something.
Yes, Wilmot, Chief Communication Officer for UNICEF, says the UN's Children's Agency is aware that some mothers are refusing to have their children vaccinated. He says UNICEF is working to ensure that the vaccines are available and that health workers are well trained so that they can educate mothers about the importance of vaccinations.
We are doing communication work through radio, through social mobilizers that go in house to house visits, informing people. We do produce communication material like posters, leaflets.
In a joint press statement released yesterday by UNICEF, the World Health Organization, and South Sudan's Health Ministry, the partners say they have rolled out the second wave of a national polio vaccination campaign, which targets more than 2.8 million children, covering 74 counties across the country. A polio outbreak was declared in South Sudan on September 18th last year, which spread to 17 counties, according to the statement. 39 cases of vaccine-derived poliomyelitis have been confirmed in the country, with Warap and Western Baragazal states being the most affected. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Magui.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you promote tourism within your country amongst your fellow citizens?
By sponsoring or organizing trips for schools and others, because there are some people who don't have money to go to such places.
Telling people about how our culture and history is, through that I can promote.
By having friendly activities available, like affordable costs of travel, food and accommodation.
Maybe by posting on the social media about the tourism activities happening in the country, as well as the places that people can visit. Places I know, such as some in Mangochi, maybe in Mulanje, by putting that on the social media.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Human Rights Watch has released a report Monday documenting dozens of unlawful arrests of civilians in Khartoum by the Rapid Support Forces last year. The report says RSF detained and tortured political activists. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Human Rights Watch said today the Rapid Support Forces illegally detained dozens of civilians in Khartoum in 2020, including political activists. The Rights Watchdog says the detainees were held incommunicado or in circumstances constituting enforced disappearances, and is calling on authorities to take urgent steps to ensure that the RSF stops acting outside the law and that all civilian detainees are immediately released. Human Rights Watch says it interviewed four former RSF detainees, two family members, and a lawyer. Mohamed Osman is a Sudanese researcher in the Africa Division at Human Rights Watch.
The violations we noted here that start from the moment of deprivation of liberty, the moment the RSF elements restrain and confine and detain people, this is in itself the moment when the violation started. Where, of course, not in all of the cases we documented, there was no treatment, but there were other cases when detainees told us they'd been ill-treated by the RSF guards in the RSF-run facilities.
Osman says Sudan's transitional government should investigate reported arbitrary arrests, incommunicado detentions, enforced disappearances, and other abuse in custody, including one death.
Starting with a thorough investigation to all of the alleged abuses that you identified in this report and other cases, ensure that the RSF do not no longer would detain any civilians, that any civilian detainee should be released or surrendered to the civilian competent authorities to be charged or released, with all respect to the due process. More importantly, so for these abuses to occur in the future, the Attorney General should ensure using his powers to inspect any detention facilities, especially the ones that is controlled by the RSF.
45-year-old Bahaddin Nouri was arrested by the RSF in December and tortured to death while in custody. Following his death, Sudan's Attorney General Tayasser al-Hibir issued a statement saying arresting powers are exclusively preserved to the police under the instructions of the Prosecutor General and the judiciary, and that Sudan's armed forces, including the RSF, do not have legal authority to detain civilians or carry out law enforcement functions. He told South Sudan in Focus from Khartoum yesterday that his instructions were conveyed to all regular forces. He says, on implementing these instructions, we address all the concerned parties that it is not allowed, and if we get word that any civilian is being detained by these entities and being questioned or investigated, we consider it illegitimate detention and therefore unlawful, and the arresting person, whatever force they belong to, will be subjected to criminal proceedings and will be arraigned in court. Al-Hibir says RSF members who were involved in the arrest and torture of Nouri have been handed over to the Office of Sudan's Prosecutor General and will be arraigned in court next week. The Sudanese Professional Association, a group of trade union organizations that spearheaded the protests which led to the ouster of former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019, initiated a campaign calling for an end to unlawful detentions by the RSF. The group also urged the Attorney General to investigate broader RSF detention practices and shut down RSF-run detention facilities. Al-Hibir says while he agrees wholeheartedly with the call, these are military installations, so getting access to them is difficult. But we address them officially that it is illegal to have any detention centers except for their own members with regards to crimes pertaining to their own law as regular forces. Other than that, there is no basis for detentions or having detention centers for civilians. In short, they are not allowed to keep a civilian or arrest them or detain them or question them. This is the purview of the Prosecutor General by law, and we are very keen on upholding this principle. South Sudan in Focus repeatedly tried without success to reach RSF spokesperson Brigadier General Jamal Juma for comment. The RSF has been accused of serious abuses against civilians in Darfur and other conflict zones, as well as the violent crackdown on peaceful protests on June 3, 2019, and which killed more than 100 civilians and injured hundreds others. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Still on Sudan, the transitional government in Sudan has reiterated commitment to implement reforms in the country through a one-year work plan. Sudan's newly appointed Minister of Information, Hamza Balul, says the government plans to boost exports, build democratic institutions, strengthen security sector reforms, and maintain external relations with the outside world. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Speaking to reporters in Khartoum over the weekend, Information Minister Hamza Balul said the cabinet agreed at the end of a three-day retreat to implement five national strategic plans over the next year. Balul, who doubles as the official government spokesperson, says the cabinet agreed to boost the economy, strengthen national security, strive to restore peace, build Sudan's external relations, and ensure democratic transformation in the country. He says the government is aware the living conditions for most citizens have deteriorated. Balul says the government is working to improve service delivery by boosting local production and exports in a bid to tackle the economic hardships facing Sudanese.
Provision of basic services like drinking water, free general education, localize the drug industry to cover 60% of the needs of the first year, subsidizing healthcare on all underlying diseases, primary healthcare emergencies, infectious diseases center, in addition to national programs.
Last week, the government devalued and floated the local currency in a bid to address the economic imbalances and curb foreign exchange trade in the black market. Balul says the government will work to rebuild social cohesion among different Sudanese communities by organizing communal peace conferences and rallies and engaging the minority groups in the process of nation building. He says no one should be left behind.
Empowerment of the women in the public sector through implementation of the national plan on the UN Resolution 1325 and engage women in the process of inclusive strategic formulation, inclusion of women in all approaches to life, inclusion of persons with disabilities in the social, economic, and political sector.
A few weeks ago, Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok reshuffled his cabinet to include members of the Sudan Revolutionary Front, an umbrella organization of armed groups which signed the Juba peace deal with the government in October last year. Balul says Sudan has improved its relations with the regional and international community after the government carried out several reforms over the past year. He says the government will continue to improve relations with the international community in line with Sudan's interests. He calls on citizens to monitor the government's performance over the next year and ensure that officials fulfill their promises 1 year from now.
The government is answerable about all these programs at the end of this year. Any delay in implementing one of those projects means the government has failed to fulfill its promises. We will strive to implement these priorities as we promised our Sudanese citizens.
Sudanese journalist and analyst Muhammad Ali Fazari says the government's priorities are commendable, even though they will likely encounter several challenges.
I think that the challenges are very huge, but the will of the government this time is stronger than ever before. And I think the main challenge is facing these five priorities is how to prepare the money and the funding for these projects.
Sudanese Finance Minister Jibril Ibrahim said last Sunday that floating the exchange rate would help normalize ties with regional and global financial institutions and partners to ensure the flow of grants and loans into Sudan's economy. For VOA News, I am Michael Atid in Khartoum.
We would like to welcome our listeners on Akol Yam 91.0 FM in Awil Town to the family of VOA affiliate stations across South Sudan. We also thank the management of the community radio for allowing VOA programs on its network of FM stations across South Sudan. We love to hear what you think about this show. Send us your short feedback on our WhatsApp number +12026308011. We will air your comments every Friday. That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with some traditional Balanda song usually sung during circumcision ceremonies. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking your time to listen to this program. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Why,